Well, this morning it's a privilege for me to introduce to you Brad and Jackie Willems, and they have been serving in RV at Alliance Church for the past 11 years. They had a compelling call to go to RV as the pastoral couple that would serve in the ministry there in 2007. So I've had the privilege of going there in 2008, and I know many of people from Westgate have since gone through the leadership of Darcy. Darcy, because I always see him there, but he's not here now. Darcy Roussel has led many of us, given us the opportunity to go. So Brad and Jackie are very gifted as a pastoral couple, ministering through mentoring men and women. And also they are the parents of Jordan, Logan, Brooklyn, and Caitlin. So as you can tell, they're very busy as a family and serving in the church. So you're going to hear more about that. And because of our partnership, by going on these kind of trips, taking a small plane and flying, we've built a very meaningful partnership with Brad and Jackie. And I think because of that, they can be here today, very much a part of our family. So I'd encourage you to talk to them afterwards. And I just love the way they communicate to us already through this message, and you're going to hear that, just a very powerful message. And so thank you for coming this morning, and your blessing, God's blessing on you as you speak this morning. Let's give them a welcome.
Good morning, and we want to thank you again for having us join your church family this morning. We want to just express again how thankful we are for all of your help in ministering in Aviat for the last 11 years. Westgate is one of our first partners in helping us in Aviat when we got there, and we solidified our partnership later with a seamless link agreement, and we've been so blessed by your continuing help over the years. And we want to thank you so much for standing with us as we continue to share about Jesus to the people in Aviat and even farther north than that, all over Nunavut. Let's pray about that together. Father God, we want to thank you so much that you have brought us into a family of churches, and that even though each church is different and each person is different, that we are together and we are your family. And we thank you that we can help each other and support each other like our earthly families do sometimes. And we pray that you just give us strength and to do that more and more in the future, to listen to you and to do what you would have us to do in supporting each other. And thank you for Westgate, and we pray your blessing over them as they minister here in Saskatoon and helping us in Aviat and to the ends of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, as Corey said, our year has been really busy. And part of that is because a huge blessing that we have in adopting Caitlin, or Analyuk, which is her Inuktitut name, into our family. She is now 9 months old, but her story starts way before that. You see, coming to Aviat, I decided that I was going to substitute teach. And so for 10 years, I substitute taught in the school system. And the last 3 years, I was in the high school. And one of the realities of Aviat and its young population is that we have lots of pregnant girls in our high school. So I would often have a conversation with these girls, and sometimes that was due to the confusion. The health center and the nurses there would often like to push abortion on these young girls that were pregnant. And that didn't really align with the Inuit culture and the Inuit values. And we at the school, or at least I was given the opportunity to talk freely about this. And it was really a neat way to minister in a very secular place, which is a school and high school. And so I had this conversation many times where I would talk to girls in the class saying, you know, maybe not look to the health center and what they're directing you to, but let's go back to some of the values in Inuit culture, which is adoption. And I know it's hard to find adoptive parents in town, but we know of people in the south that are willing to adopt, and even us would be willing to adopt. So one day, I was working at the school, and Caitlin's mom and Caitlin's mom's biological mom's best friend come walking into the class. And I really didn't know that she was expecting. And so they were starting to talk and wanting about who could adopt this baby. What were they going to do with this baby? And they weren't sure what to do. And so I just made the comment, like I had lots of many times, that, you know, we knew of people in the South that would be willing to adopt, and that us as well would be willing to adopt. And so after class, these two young girls, they came up to me in the class, and I think prompting for the best friend a little bit was, yeah, you really, really know people that would want to adopt? And I said, yes. And then they left. And that was the end of the conversation. And I really didn't think much about it, because this is, as I said, was a conversation that I had so often in Arviat. And we'd have them in conversations all over, even in grocery stores, you'd have conversations like this. And so 6 months went by, and I'm in Saskatchewan for my sister's wedding, and Brad's actually up in Arviat, and he gets a knock at the door. And it's this young girl's mom. And they had been talking for the last 6 months, and they wanted us to adopt Caitlin. And we were shocked, and we were overjoyed. But we knew that this was a very special gift from God. And so after filling out a crazy amount of forms and jumping through a lot of hoops, in less than 2 months, I was on a plane, and I got to witness Caitlin's birth in Iqaluit. And from the moment that she was born, we knew that God was there. People had been praying for this situation, and I myself had been praying for a child that I didn't even know about, that I thought we would adopt years and years, even before Brad and I even got together. So it was amazing to see that come to bed. And the really neat thing was, even in the delivery room, we have a doctor in one Arviat. So the only doctor who's ever gone through med school from Arviat was our doctor in Iqaluit. And that was really neat, because her mom and the birth's mom's grandma are best friends. And so there was such a peace in the delivery room that only God could have provided in that situation. And we really feel that, God's hand was on this whole situation through this adoption.
Just like we adopted Anayak, the Bible shows us that as followers of Jesus, we're adopted too. Paul writes about this to the church in Rome. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8, 14 to 17, if you brought your Bible or reading device or whatever. And we have it on the screen too, if you don't have one here. So Romans 8, 14 to 17. All those who are led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God. You should not act like people who are owned by someone. They are always afraid. Instead, the Holy Spirit makes us his sons, and we can call to him my Father. For the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells our spirit that we are children of God. If we are children of God, we will receive everything he has promised us. We will share with Christ all the things God has given to him. But we must share his suffering, if we are to share his shining greatness.
So when it comes to adoption, it has also always been an important part of Inuit culture. It's been used to help families, not to tear them apart. For example, in a traditional Inuit lifestyle on the land, our oldest son, Jordan, would have been adopted to Brad's parents because he is the first grandchild. He would be provided to Brad's parents to help them in their old age, to help them hunt, to provide for their needs, but very much still part of the community and part of our lives. This also happens a lot of times in traditional Inuit society when you had two babies that were too close together, or if you had twins. Somebody in the community, a parent, an aunt, a sister, would adopt one of the babies. And this was for practical reasons as well as for cultural reasons. Practically, you can only carry one baby at a time on your back, and they lived a nomadic lifestyle. And so for just keeping the child healthy and happy and keeping the parents healthy, adoption was used. We know from talking to people who were adopted this way that they knew who they were born from. They knew their family relations. They knew that they were loved and they were well taken care of in this adoption. And there was an idea of sharing the responsibility of these babies being born, and not some of the weird connotations that now happen. We knew that they had a purpose, these kids that were adopted. And it just didn't benefit the child, but it benefited the greater good of the whole community, and it made everyone a lot stronger.
Our own adoption into the family of God brings a purpose as well. We are adopted by God to benefit His family. And so we have to first understand that we are adopted, that we are His children. We are His sons, we are His daughters. We are adopted and have all the rights that any other child would have. Paul warns us not to think of ourselves as slaves because we are the children of God, and then we need to act like it.
Unfortunately, with traditions changing and different societies coming out, some of the adoption policies and procedures and the way it was run have gone away. And there's a new generation that's coming out through adoption where they're treated kind of like slaves. And as they grow, their parents or older siblings require them to do more and more around the house. They're often mistreated. They're often asked or needed to take care of younger siblings or cousins. They may even be needed to housekeep or clean up the house on a very regular regularly. They're also needed at home all the time, so they don't go to school and they don't have that opportunity of going to school, unfortunately. And this form of adoption isn't tradition, and it's not what is the norm in Inuit society, but it is something that happens. And unfortunately, adoption that leads to slavery isn't what adoption was designed for in that society.
And we're not designed for slavery either. That's not what we are adopted by God for. As followers of Jesus, we're not slaves, but instead we're free. We're not afraid of a master who's coming to punish us if we don't do everything right, but instead we're free from punishment. We are free to talk to God just like a child talks to a father. And we have a relationship with the one who created us. Instead of cowering in fear from him, God chose us, and he adopted us, he loves us. And the more we understand of this, the less we will fear God, and the more we'll understand his love, and the more we'll understand him, and the more we'll learn to love and respect him. And as we understand our place as the children of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives, So we understand our place as children of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our understanding comes through the Holy Spirit, is what I'm trying to talk about. There we go. Sorry. So when we're adopted through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our life. He makes us children of God, and we have to believe this, that we are His children. If we don't believe that we are His adopted children, then we will lack purpose in our lives, we will not be strengthened in God's family, and we may even turn away from God and become slaves to sin again. And so we have to understand with every fiber of our being the truth of John 1:13-14, that God gave the right and the power to become children of God to those who received him. He gave this to those who put their trust in his name. These children of God were not born of blood and of flesh, and of man's desires, but they were born of God. If we trust in Jesus, if we have received his forgiveness, if we are following him, then we are children of God. We have been born again and renewed by God's Spirit, who helps us understand how we fit into God's family now. And then we have access to all the promises that God has given in his word. And we will share in what Jesus has been given by God. We will share with Jesus because he is the original son in the family of God.
So sometimes as parents, it's a scary. And as they're getting older, I'm finding it more scary, actually. And in the 11 years that we've been in Arviat, we've been able to have Jordan, who's been with us for 10 years, and see him grow and continually change. And something that's always been in him since the time that he was really little is this super responsibility that he has inside of him. And he shows this all the time. And he shows leadership beyond his years, not just in our home sometimes, but in school and in a church too. In fact, as a little kid, even in grade 1 and 2, when the teacher didn't know where they'd left off the next day or the last day and he wanted to know what was going on, they just went to Jordan. He knew exactly what the teacher was supposed to be teaching, which is kind of crazy. So as he enters grade 5 in the fall, we pray for him because he's going to be going to junior high in the fall, and so you can continue to pray for that. But we also look back and we see where he's come from. If you look at pictures of Brad when he was little and pictures of Jordan, they are exactly the same. There is no difference. And if you would have met me in grade five, you probably would have thought, oh my goodness, she is crazy bossy. And that is Jordan to a T. And unfortunately, he's picked that up. But Logan, on the other hand, is his total opposite, which is kind of interesting. Logan is our mischievous one, our outgoing one, our super friendly and artistic kid. And he is always with people. And you never know how many friends are going to come home after school with him. And you never know what kind of crazy ingredients he's going to throw in a sandwich at lunch. And I don't know if all of us will eat his sandwiches because they are interesting. But the interesting thing about Logan is that he is 100% from my family. He looks like my little brother. He talks like them. He has the same sense of humor. In fact, if you would have seen my sister run right now and you see my brother or my Logan run, they run the same. The interesting thing is that he has the mind of his dad and he has language skills and he's acquired Inuktitut better than I think both of us at this point. And he has a real grasp of a lot of academics that are interesting, and we know where those have come from. And then you have Brooklyn, and little Brooke is a little mini mom. And when you hear her in the morning say, okay, hurry up, get to school, go brush your teeth, get your jackets on, get to the door, just like a mom, you know that you've influenced your kid a little. But the interesting thing is that she's also picked up other habits. And so one of our habits in our house is to pray with the boys before they go to school. And so she'll be, hurry up, let's go, and then waiting in the porch with them to go and pray with them before they go after school. And so that's really neat to see her growing in that way. The other ways that we know that Brooklyn is ours is just her affection for her little sister. She loves Caitlin and is absolutely missing her and has to kiss and hug her as soon as Caitlin comes back into home if they're separated for the afternoon. She also loves games and playing them with her dad, just like dad, and she has gotten this gift of dressing up and putting on makeup too, so that's kind of interesting. Our kids share our DNA, but it's easy to see that when you look at them.
Just like our kids share our DNA, Jesus shares the same essence as God the Father, and they are the same. And Jesus showed that he loved the Father by obeying the Father in everything he did here on earth. Everything Jesus did, from being born to healing the suffering and teaching and dying on the cross, was because he loved the Father and chose to obey him. The Father told Jesus to pray for healing for this person, and Jesus did. The Father said, talk to that person about me, and Jesus did. The Father told Jesus, go eat supper with this guy, and Jesus did. Their relationship is perfect and so loving, and it's hard for us to understand. Looking at my own relationship with my own dad, I can't imagine how Jesus loved his Father enough to obey him in every single thing. I didn't always obey my dad. I know that's probably a surprise for most of you. I don't think he was too pleased when he gave me my first toolkit and I started to saw on my bed frame to see if they worked. But it shows that we imperfect people have trouble understanding perfection and to understand the perfect love of God and the perfect love that Jesus has for his Father. But we can see that if Jesus loved his Father to obey him in everything, that we should live like that as his adopted children. We need to learn how to obey the Father in everything too. If we're going to receive the promises that God gave and to share in the reward and the glory that Jesus has been given, then we need to live like Jesus lived and learn how to obey the Father.
So Analyuk, or Caitlin, is being raised just like our other kids. And she has this huge extended family, not just in the South, in our family in Saskatchewan, but also with our church family, with Auntie Diane and Uncle Lukey and the many others in our church. She gets to enjoy times of being spoiled with her family in the South and Tot family in the North. And just like Logan and Jordan and Brooklyn, we bring her South with us, and she gets to get to know her four grandparents and her four great-grandparents, enjoy the crazy hot weather compared to Arviat. Analyuk will grow up just like her brothers and sisters, being a third culture kid, navigating the rules and the customs of the Inuit culture and the white southern culture. She will learn these rules of our house and what to do and what to not do. And so some of the rules that she's learning right now is not to eat electrical cords. That's a big deal in her life right now. The other one is not to eat dirt or planted plants in our house or at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And so she's learning and being just like our other kids.
Like our big brother Jesus, we need to learn to obey the Father in everything too. And we're not adopted to do what we want as Christians, but we obey the Father, and it strengthens the family of God. God's family gets stronger when we share the love of Jesus with our friends or our family, our neighbors, when we share the love of God with our church family. God's family grows stronger when we work together to do what he wants us to do in serving our community. God's family grows stronger as we fight against evil in this world by doing good wherever we go. So as we learn to obey our Heavenly Father, the Father's family gets stronger, but we also find our own place in the family of God as well.
Traditionally, adopted children knew where they fit into the family. They had their roles and they had their value in the community. They had responsibilities to the community and to help out in the community. But the community had a value in that child as well, and that the community helped that child. Even their names reflected their kinship, who they belonged to, where they came from, and it gave them a healthy identity within the new adopted family. So one of the young ladies in our church that we're really close with in Arviat is an adopted child. In fact, she is the last adopted child of five in her family. See, the couple couldn't have kids, and so all of their children are adopted. Sapora came to this family from another family in our church, actually. And she's related to the family she was adopted to, and her biological mom really admired this family. Sapora's adopted-in mother is a very traditional woman and has a lot of knowledge in the traditional ways and in the language, and she's really good at passing that on. But at the same time, Sapora's new dad, they could see that he was really able to pass on some knowledge from the South. He traveled lots, he'd been in the South. And so for the birth parents, this was really important. Now, Sapora knows both sets of her parents, and they all belong to our church, which is kind of neat. She knows who her relatives are, and she knows exactly why she was adopted. She is now in her early 20s and just finished some post-secondary school in the South. She is in a great relationship with both sets of her parents and even has a good relationship with her other biological siblings. She is growing to be a very Christian, a mature Christian, and someone that I think that a lot of young women in our community can really look up to.
In our life, we know that obedience isn't always fun. Sometimes it's hard, and obedience to the Father can even lead to persecution and suffering in our lives too. But as Paul wrote, we must share his sufferings if we are to share in his shining greatness. And so even though we may suffer here on earth while we obey God, we know that we will share in Christ's glory someday. We will be in heaven and we will share life with him forever. Jesus died on the cross obeying the Father. He suffered and died. But he also died knowing how many of his adopted brothers and sisters would join him in life and death and then the resurrection to eternal life with him forever. An elder in our church was accused of abuse by his brother on the land before they moved into Arviat and before they were even followers of Jesus. And he didn't remember what his brother did, but they were he upset at each other. And we asked you guys to pray for them. When he was confronted by his brother, this elder admitted he didn't remember what happened, and he tried to make peace. They couldn't, and so I was invited to talk with both of the brothers and this elder. After I talked to him, he went out immediately and went to his brother's house and apologized on his knees. And the elder, he suffered some shame and persecution from his other brother, but he's now following Jesus closer than ever before because he did what was right, and he went and asked forgiveness for his brother for what was happening. This had also brought him closer to his brother now, and his brother has actually said, "I love you," 3 times, which is a big thing if you've been abused by somebody. This elder has begun to heal from his own wounds of abuse that he's had in his life out on the land. And so he's experiencing God's glory in a new part of his life because he was willing to suffer and he dealt with it by obeying God the Father. Obedience isn't us just running around and doing everything that we think we need to do. If we do that, we just get tired out and we get frustrated. But it's often what we do. We run around and we do what we think we want to do, and we do what we think God wants us to do. But instead, we need just to listen to the Holy Spirit, to obey by doing what he tells us to do. We obey by living in the Holy Spirit's power moment by moment, so that the Father's work can be done instead of what we think should be done, because we can't obey on our own. We have to live each moment letting the Holy Spirit teach us how to obey and what to do, just like our big brother Jesus did. He received the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and he obeyed every minute by the power of the Holy Spirit in him until he sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And so we need to be like Jesus and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us obey the Father.
This is exactly what our friend Diane, or Auntie Diane as we call her, has been doing, listening to the Spirit. See, Diane works in the health profession, and she was offered a really good job in Chesterfield Inlet. This job was a higher position with higher pay. It also came with her own house. See, right now, she lives with her husband and her brother's girlfriend in a very small, old house. And so that allure of having her house of her own was a really big one. But it came with a drawback. The drawback was that she would have to travel lots. And she is newly married. And so the travel time would take her away from her new husband. So she prayed about it. And she came with us, and we prayed about it. And she felt a prompting of the Spirit to say, no, you need to put your new marriage ahead of the job. And so she rejected this position in Chesterfield. And she didn't really know why she was supposed to reject this, but she just knew she was supposed to stay in Arviant. And as it turned out, the Father had plans for her and Lukey in Arviat, because Lukey needed to hear about Jesus in a brand new way that he had never heard about him growing up in Chesterfield. See, Lukey is from Chester, and Chesterfield Inlet is a predominantly Catholic community. And so we came along, Lukey, and walked with him, and he saw Jesus in a way that he had never seen Jesus before. And so we're happy to announce that Lukey accepted Christ last fall and is learning to obey the Father through the Holy Spirit too.
And so it was a wonderful thing that happened, because Diane obeyed the Holy Spirit, and now her and Lukey are even closer together as well in their marriage. And so we see it's important that we learn to obey the Father, because there is only one family here on earth, the family of God. All our other earthly families will pass away when this world ends, and there will be one family left standing, the family of God. God is the Father. Are we his children? If you're not sure if you're his child, talk to the pastor here, or to me or Jackie, or to another Christian that you trust. If you are a child of God, we want to pray this prayer from Ephesians over us. And if you're wondering about how this adoption into God's family works, we want to pray for you too. Let's pray this prayer. I pray that because of the riches of his shining greatness, he will make you strong with power in your hearts through the Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ may live in your hearts by faith. I pray you will be filled with love. I pray that you will be able to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. I pray that you will know the love of Christ. His love goes beyond anything we can understand. I pray that you will be filled with God himself. God is able to do much more than we ask or think through his power working in us. May we see his shining greatness in the church. May all people in all time honor Jesus Christ. Amen.